The Late Night Vision Show, welcome. It is episode 314. If you're a night hunter, welcome to the show. If you're a hunter and you don't hunt at night, well, welcome, and you will probably find something that is your new addiction. If you landed on this show and you're not a hunter, this is kind of awkward, but that's okay. It's like showing up to college your first day of class and you're in the wrong classroom and you realize it about 10 minutes in and you're like, okay, do I look like an idiot and walk out or do I just ride it out? Well, we hope you ride it out. Maybe you'll come and join our side of the pool, you know, the hunter side, and maybe even the night hunter. So you got the hunter side of the pool, and then you got the night hunter side, which is like the little bitty corner of the pool. Anyway, episode 314, the giggling that you hear in the background, Mr. Jason Robertson, owner of Outdoor Legacy. Welcome on this evening, right before the release of the show. Hey, how you doing, man?
Man, my eyes are red. People are going to think I've either gotten beat up or crying. I'm over here laughing at you. I've been accused of taking some rabbit trails, but sir, that was an analogy rabbit trail. But
yeah,
all right, guys. So, what I would say is that we do welcome you, whether you're a hunter or not. But if you're not a night hunter, honestly, this show, probably of all the shows we've done, applies 100% to you as well. We're going to be talking about some hog hunting tactics, and it doesn't matter if you shoot them at noon, at night, or anywhere in between. These tactics we're going to talk about today are going to apply to you. But first, guys, real quick, we want to tell you, if you're new to the show, if you're not new, you know, a lot of people think that Hans and I do this just for fun. We do this show every single week just for fun. Well, it is fun. We do like doing it, but we actually sell thermal and night vision optics for a living. That is what feeds our family, as well as four or five other full-time employees that work for us at Outdoor Legacy. We want to be your full-service, one-stop shop for night vision and thermal optics. So if you're looking for any kind of a night vision or thermal scope to get out there and hunt, whether it's hogs, coyotes, predators, varmints, if it's for emergency preparedness, whatever it is, we want to help you. And the best way to do that is, guys, we've got these videos and we hope they're helpful, but we know you can watch them and you can learn some stuff, but you still may be confused when it's over. So the best thing to do is give us a call. You can call us at 877-350-1818. You can talk to one of us. We will be happy to walk you through the process, help you figure out exactly which optic is best for your needs, fits your budget, has all the features you need or don't need or want or don't want. And we want to help you make sure you get the right one for you. Thermal optics are tools, and you need to get the right tool for the job. They're very expensive. You can get the wrong one. You can spend $2,000 and find out you bought the exact wrong thing. You don't want to do that. So again, you can give us a call. If you want to go to our website first, look around, feel free to do that. You can go there and make a purchase as well. But again, we would like to talk to you first just to make sure you're getting the optic that you need. That's Outdoor Legacy Gear, G-E-A-R, OutdoorLegacyGear.com. So anything you need, give us a call. All right, guys. So I know right now there's been a lot of buzz going around about the State Department issuing some sanctions against some companies that are Chinese owned that have supposedly been involved with some of the stuff going on between the war or in the war between Russia and Ukraine. And IRAE, their name got thrown into this, last week. And there's just all kinds of we don't know. There's just a lot of stuff getting thrown around. And we speak very briefly to that, kind of letting you know the little bit that we do know or don't know on our 2-Minute Tuesday that obviously came out on Tuesday of this week. So we will be speaking to that issue when there's more solid information. And the more information we get, we will bring it to you here on this show. But as of right now, pretty much about everything we know, we mentioned there on 2-Minute Tuesday. So you can go check that out right here on YouTube. If you're on the podcast app, jump over to YouTube because we don't get the 2-Minute Tuesdays on the podcast apps, but you can see that right there. All right, guys. So what we're going to talk about today, This is a good topic because it's very timely, and it's basically the three best tactics or methods for baiting hogs during the summertime. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you a dirty little secret, and Hans is probably going to blackball me. If he could, he'd probably fire me, but I'm going to tell you what, these will work year round, but I'm just saying right now we're in summertime. So these are listen, maybe he didn't hear that, but these will work year round. But no, it is. These are some good summertime tactics for baiting hogs. So Hans, let's roll right into this.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about our three favorite. Now, you know, we had a show a couple weeks ago where we talked about the resurgence of the hog population and how the numbers have seemed to be coming back. Here in Texas, we've gotten a lot of wet weather, a lot of rain. Jason, you're dealing with rain and trees falling down all over the place. Same here, a little bit further north where I'm at. And, you know, I don't know if that's what's bringing the hogs back, but there's definitely a lot more hogs that we've been seeing around. And even in our community, whether it be in our towns or our online communities, people are talking about a resurgence of the hog population. And if you're watching this and you're a coyote hunter, it's like, what does this pertain or how does this pertain to me? Man, I talk to many of y'all, and there's a lot of y'all that are traveling down south, whether it be Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and hog hunting down south. Many of you do it. And I know that y'all like to keep up with what's going on. And I get people call all the time, just want to know, are there any hogs? Are you seeing any movement? What's going on? I'm coming down there in a little bit. So here are our three favorite ways, three favorite methods. And I'm going to tell you, this is baiting hogs is really how I kind of cut my teeth in into this business. And
yeah, me too.
Really, yeah, just having a thermal scope and being able to produce content and being able to, the key to baiting hogs and the reason why it's so important is you're trying to control the movement of the hog population that's on your properties or the properties you're hunting. And we were doing that, Jason, you and I were doing that in the beginning to be able to get content and footage for thermal scopes. We still do that to this day. But you know, for being able to do that and knowing where the hogs are going to be, being able to predict that using cell cameras, there's a lot of tools in the bag, but baiting hogs and how you do that is important, and it can either work or it can be a costly failure. And when I say costly, I bought some corn this morning, and it was $10.50 for a 50-pound bag. So I remember, many years ago, but Jason was like, it was like $4.95 for a 50.
I was thinking $4.25 to $4.99. I remember those days. Yeah,
I remember thinking, man, that's high. That's a lot of $5 for a bag of corn. Now we're paying more than double that. But anyway, so I'm going to kick it off in it is one of my favorite methods because it's on here. This is not anything that I came up with, y'all. I had a buddy actually in our area that kind of got me kicked off using pig pipes. And you're like, what's a pig pipe? I'm going to show some video of one because I've got one right now 75 yards from my front door. But a pig pipe essentially is a PVS. I use a 3-inch by, you know, a 3-inch PVC. I think maybe some people use a 4-inch. I can't remember exactly. But all you're doing is you're getting a 4 or 5 foot long piece of PVC pipe. You're drilling holes in it. Now, the hole needs to be not too big that a bunch of corn's falling out when it turns, but small enough that, you know, it kind of limits the amount of corn that falls out. But essentially what it is, you put it on a rope, you tether it into the ground, and the hogs will come around and you fill it up with corn. Hogs come around and just beat it around in circles all night long. And every time they hit it, a little bit of corn falls out. So whether you put 1, 2 holes, 3 holes, however many holes you drill in it, I end up having to tape some of the holes, Jason, because I put too many holes and then they get all the corn out in one night. You definitely want to avoid that. But the great thing about a pig pipe, obviously, you can get them to come to that spot. It trains them. It's almost like a toy with a reward at the end where, you know, they're knocking this thing around and food is coming out of it. So they're rewarded by coming and hitting this little pig pipe. But, you know, the best thing about it, it keeps them entertained for a long time. I talk to guys that run pig pipes and they're like, man, I've had this pig stays on camera for hours. 3, 4, 5 hours hitting this, you know, this pig pipe around in circles. Cause it is, it's tethered to a ground. You know, I use a rebar stake or something and just a rope, and I tie that rope to the end of the pig pipe. And again, that pig pipe's 4 or 5 feet long with holes drilled in it. And it is, it's perfect, man. It just keeps them so entertained. That is, once I started doing that, I really kind of backed off a little bit on my other methods that we're going to be talking about here a little bit later, because this has been so successful with me, and it's so easy. You drive by there every 2 or 3 days, however much corn they're getting knocked out of it. But you drive by there every 2 or 3 days, fill it up with corn, you know, put the lid back on it. They're ready to go. It's easy, effective, and it keeps them entertained. And when they're hitting that thing around and their nose is pointing at the ground and they're beating the pipe around and in circles and picking up corn off the ground, that means they're not looking at you sneaking up on them. Makes it, when they're occupied, it definitely makes it easier to stalk up on them. So Jason, that is one of my favorite methods, the very first favorite methods, but pig pipes, pro or con, in your opinion?
If y'all were watching me over here, you probably see me looking down. It's because I was thinking about, I really thought that we did an episode on the podcast about pig pipes. And so I was like trying to search and I couldn't find it. And maybe I know we've talked about them, but did find, y'all need to go find this. It's on YouTube. It's on Hans's YouTube channel, okay. Hansetx, Hans East Texas. And it is from April 25th, 2019. Wow. 5 full years ago, he has an episode, and it's called 7 Hogs Down with the Pulsar Trail XP50 and XQ38 and How to Make Pig Pipes. And so go back. That again, that's April 2019. But if you'll search Hans ETX and then pig pipes, you'll find this. And I do remember this now because I'm kind of just clicking on this and looking. He has got his very, very cute little daughter, Hadley, with him in this video. And I don't think she had any teeth.
She didn't have any front teeth at that time. I don't think she
did. You guys, if y'all just want to see the cutest little girl in the world, you need to go watch this video just for that. But he shows y'all how, well, he's got a way better assistant. But the two of them show you how to make a pig pipe from scratch. The one thing you did say that I'm not watching the video right now. I'm just kind of clicking on it. You said you thought a 3-inch pipe. I really think it's bigger than that. I think it's a 4-inch
I think it's 4.
Pipe.
Yeah.
I think it's 4. It'll say in that video, though.
Yeah, but I think it's a 4-inch pipe.
You need to go watch that. I'll say this. Hans got me on the pig pipes. I'd never done one. I mean, I'd kind of heard of it. And it's legit. And I'll just be real brief because, I mean, I know he's already talked about them. But I think what's so nice about it is kind of, as he said, number one, you're controlling the amount of corn that they're getting. So you don't have to go, you know, you dump out a 50-pound sack of corn on the ground and the hogs find it. Tomorrow, there's no pounds of corn on the ground. They can eat it all. The pig pipe is very controllable, and it keeps them there a long time. You know, if you get pictures, like Hans was talking about cell cameras, and if you've got them at a traditional feeder where they can come and go, you know, oh man, there they are. I got to get ready. I got to go to my, maybe you got to drive over there. Maybe you don't even live on the place. They're gone so many times by the time you get down there, even just putting on your boots and grabbing your rifle and going out the back door. But these pig pipes, it forces them to stay, and they hear that corn rolling in there. So there's like this sound and then the action of it falling out. I'm just telling you, they're really, really good.
They're addicted to it. Hamsters in a cage chasing a ball or whatever, you know, it's crazy. True.
It is. That's really, really, really cool deal. Now, number two, this is the one that I'm going to be honest, I do the most of. It's funny, from my back door, I can look down across my pasture, and by a big tree about 250 yards away, I can see kind of on the backside there, a pig pipe that I have that is empty, and it's leaned up against that tree. And I have not filled it and put it out in a while. And it's probably just because I'm lazy, but here's kind of why. So the second method is essentially what, I mean, I think we can call the traditional method of feeding hogs, mm-hmm. which would either be using a feeder or pouring mm-hmm. it out on the ground. I'm a big proponent of what a lot of people like to call hand-thrown corn for deer, which just means no feeder, dump it on the ground. I'm a very big proponent of that. I think for deer hunting, for you know, big bucks, I love that. I love going in some spot, dumping corn on the ground, no feeders, no legs, nothing hanging. I just really, really like that. So that's another. It's a good option for hogs, but as I just stated here, the problem is, I mean, whatever you pour out can be gone tomorrow. I mean, a group of hogs coming in to 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds of corn is just nothing. I mean, that's like, it's like my 9-year-old son going into a candy store. I mean, it's just like he can consume this stuff. And hogs can do the same thing with that corn. Now, the other traditional method, as we'll call it, is basically just corn feeders. You know, I mean, actual, you know, spinning corn feeders. And that's my favorite method. I say it's my favorite. It's the easiest because I'm normally already doing that for deer hunting. I've got them out. Mm-hmm. And so this is an interesting thing in the summer. And this is why this specific method is going to be different for a lot of people than it would be in the fall and the winter when they're actually deer hunting. Mm-hmm. Because if you know this, if you've got feeders going and you've got hogs and you're trying to kill deer, once those hogs get on those feeders, you can't really see deer because I mean, those hogs are waiting and they're coming in there. They're hitting it every time it goes off and three times in between, and they will run deer, I mean, intentionally off of that corn. They mm-hmm. want it. And so what that leads to is a lot of guys down here in the South end up putting basically fences around mm-hmm. their feeders. And that can be anything from, you know, a short 2 or 3 foot, maybe, you know, a hog panel or a cattle panel or something's cut down. The guy's putting a full, you know, 48 inch tall, you know, net wire fence around it and making the deer jump in there to get to it and just trying to keep those hogs out. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's some places that some buddies that I'm friends with that are on leases and their deer hunting lease, the owners are trying to keep these, you know, hogs off the property as much as they can. They're having these deer hunters shoot them, but they require them. All feeders must have a fence around them because they're trying to keep those hogs mm-hmm. from just, you know, staying in there on their property and laying up there waiting on the feeder, getting fat and tearing everything up. So mm-hmm. That's becoming more and more popular. So what that does is when it works, it's effective in keeping those hogs out. But this time of year, you don't have to do that if you're not deer hunting. Mm-hmm. And so like for me in the fall, in the winter, I got my cameras running. I don't want 150 pictures of hogs. I want to see that big buck that's in there. And so I'm doing everything I can to keep mm-hmm. the hogs out. But now I don't really care. The deer don't hit the corn near as much. There's so much green browse. There's so much other stuff. Yeah, they'll come and they'll don't get me wrong. They're not going to walk past some corn and not take a bite, but the hogs are still on it like a magnet. And mm-hmm. so you can take down those fences if you want to and get those hogs in there. And again, if the deer come by, great. If they don't, whatever. But I really like that method because, as I mentioned, these hogs will get on that routine of when that feeder is going off. Mm-hmm. And I know we all want deer to do that. And sometimes they will, depending on where you're hunting, you know, feeder goes off at 5 and the deer are there at, you know, 4:55, but it doesn't normally work that way for me. But with hogs, a lot of times they will be there an hour early and they'll hang around that area because they know that feeder's going off. And so I do like that for hunting hogs in the summer. Mm-hmm. I think that, again, throwing it out on the ground is perfectly fine, but it's there all the time. You can't control how much of it they're going to eat. And so it works. But I do think this time of year, a traditional, you know, battery or solar operated feeder with mm-hmm. a spinner on it is really, really nice because you can, if you want to put out a 0.5 pound or 1 pound or however much, you can control that. Totally. And because it's spreading it over such a large area, it does mm-hmm. take them a little longer to eat it all. They got to hunt and peck for it.
Well, so the hand throwing method, just going out there and throwing it by hand. I still do that sometimes. But the only thing is, you know, you got to be very consistent. So the place typically has to be close to where you live, somewhere you can run out there every day and do it. Consistency, like so many things in life, consistency when feeding is so key. You know, making sure that these things, whether it's a feeder or going off pretty much at the same time of day, every day, you don't want it to not feed for several days in a row. They might get disinterested and move on somewhere else. And if you're trying to get rid of pigs, that might be fine. If you're trying to have fun and shoot hogs, you want them come into this spot and come in there regularly. Now, one thing, Jason, that you know that I use and I've been using for a while that I absolutely love, you talked about deer feeders and the tripod deer feeders. I love those Moultrie hanging tree feeders where you can hang them from a tree limb. Mm-hmm. And they're about $60. They're convenient. You know, I've got a lot of trees in my area, so I can just pick a tree and hang it from a limb and it'll throw out. But what I love about it, they are not very expensive. You know, I have two or three of them. They still hold quite a bit of corn. I don't know exactly. I can't remember. I don't know, 30 pounds, maybe around 30 pounds or so of corn that it'll hold. But they are off the ground. So they can't, you know, the pigs aren't going to tear it up, which I've had tripod deer feeders before where they get in there and they bend the legs or they knock it over, knock the whole feeder over and break something. And those tripod big deer feeders can be kind of expensive. So when they knock them over, you're like, oh man, that just ruined my good deer feeder. The hanging deer feeders are great again, because it's off the ground. You know, you can control how much food is being thrown out. Corn is thrown out every day, however many times a day you want to do it. The only downside to it is it doesn't hold as much corn as a big tripod feeder. So if you're going to be, if you only go to a property every 2 or 3 months, or every month, or every 2 or 3 months, you're going to want a big ground deer feeder, tripod deer feeder. If you're going to your places once every couple weeks, I think for me, it holds about 2 weeks worth of corn. And so I'll fill it up every couple weeks. But man, it's those are nice and not very expensive. So those are the Moultrie, I think they're just called the Moultrie hanging feeders. So.
Are the ones you're talking about, are they the collapsible ones? Or,
yes, I mean, that one the collapsible. Yeah, it's like a collapsible bucket or almost. But yeah, they're, you can get them at Walmart. Yeah, you can get them a lot of places. But yeah, they're not very expensive. And it's Moultrie hanging feeder is what it's called. And those are really
Hans,
good.
I know you got a third one here on the list, and I'm going to let you talk about it. I'm not going to steal your thunder, but I want to give a disclaimer. I'm going to let you talk about it. I'm going to give a disclaimer about it. And I'm going to say this. I'd never heard of anything like this until I met Hans many years ago. He would try to describe it to me, and it just did not register with me until I went with him. We rode out there, and I saw this, and I saw it in action, and it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's legitimate. I'd never heard of anybody doing this, but it works. So tell him what this third one is.
So the reason the first two items on the list, pig pipes and traditional deer feeders or corn feeders, spreaders. Yes, those can be done year round. They're fine and they work very effectively. The third one on the list is better in the summertime. And when I'm talking about what we're talking about here is baiting and souring deer corn, for bait holes. And I made a video, you talk about videos. I made a video before that pig pipe video. I made a video on how to sour corn.
That was way back.
I'm gonna go before I could even knew how to edit videos. I'm embarrassed about how poor the video is. So don't judge me on it. It's like one of my first YouTube videos that I ever made. But I made that a long time ago. One of my top watched videos at the time. But how to bait. Or how to sour corn, or how to bait hog, something like that. I can't remember the title, but
it's called Best Homemade Hog Hunting Bait.
Okay, yeah.
Best Homemade Hog Hunting Bait DIY, 176,000 views, and it looks like you put this out in 2017.
Okay.
2017. Yeah, way back. This is,
gosh.
Yeah, wow.
Been doing so anyway, this a long
go
time.
On. Interrupted you, but just one. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
So souring corn. Now this was, again, this is not anything I invented. But souring corn is a very Texas thing to do. I would say no, and I'm not offending people in other states that do it. But so I had a buddy of ours here around town, farmer, that shared this with me, and there are different variations on how to sour corn, and essentially what it comes down to is a few key ingredients. The first one obviously is deer corn, and I get a five gallon bucket of,
man, you're awesome. I'm glad you told us there's corn.
It's
involved.
Just like Betty Crocker. It's like Betty Crocker is mixing instructions here. You can see why I never made it in like home ec class and public speaking. Cause when you combine the two, I'm terrible. So a 5 gallon bucket, fill it about more than halfway with deer corn, fill it up with water. So you put water, fill it almost up to the, not to the brim, but I'd say about 75%. Full with corn and water, and then you're going to add yeast. So you go to the grocery store and you get that dry yeast. It's in the baking aisle. I forgot the brand, but it comes in these little square packets. You buy instant yeast and you pour that in there, and I put powdered Jell-O. You can pick whatever flavor. I use strawberry, but strawberry powdered Jell-O. So essentially what you have is you have corn, water, you have yeast, and you have a sugary substance that's aiding in the, oh gosh, the
fermentation.
There you go. The fermentation process. And so you are basically, you put a lid on it, and it's best when it's hot outside. I put it in the sun, and you let it sit there for 2, 3, 4 days or so, and that thing will ferment and smell like death. I mean, it'll smell so bad. One time I left a bucket of sour corn in the back of my truck, and I had to take my truck to the shop.
I was waiting on this story.
And the guy's like, I went to go pick up my truck after it was gone. He's like, man, we got your truck done, but man, we had to like park it way out in the back of the lot, because whatever you have in the back of that truck stunk our whole shop up. And I was like, oh man, that's my soured corn I left in there. So you put it in this bucket, put a lid on it, drill a little bitty hole in the lid, so it will allow for some ventilation, because it builds up pressure. But it'll basically sit in there and cook and ferment. And there might be some, if you open it and there's like a foamy broth on top, then you know you're cooking it right. You let it sit outside long enough. Now in the cold weather, it takes a long time for it to ferment to get that really good smell. But in the summer, it's very quick, a lot faster. But what that does is you sour that corn, and I'm going to tell you, put gloves on, get a cup, and just go ahead and know that cup is the sour corn cup, because you're never going to want that thing back in the house ever again. But put you some gloves on, and you are going to go out with a pulse hole digger. And Jason's already said, you're not doing that in my area, because my dirt is basically clay and you can't dig.
Not where I live. I mean, you could do it down the road somewhere, but yeah.
So we're sandy. If you're regular soil, sandy soil like I am, I get a pulse hole digger, y'all, and about I dig me a hole with that pulse hole digger about 12 inches to 18 inches deep. And then you just pour some of that corn in the bottom of the hole, maybe sprinkle it on top. And so that smell is repugnant, and it will carry forever, and it will draw hogs to that area. They'll find the hole, and they're like, well, why do you put it in a hole? Well, again, we're trying to keep them occupied. And the way that you keep them occupied is busy. And there's nothing more that pigs love to do than to dig for their food. That's scientifically proven right here at the Late Night Vision Show Institute for Higher Hog Hunting Degree Applications. So it is scientifically proven. Hogs love to dig for their food. They are going to sit there and dig the corn out of the bottom of that hole for hours. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to go back, and it's not going to be like a little tiny, like they just kind of like spread the dirt with their nose. It's going to look like a bomb went off. The hole is going to be, you're going to be like, why did they dig such a big hole for a small amount of corn? I don't know. They dig enough corn or dig enough dirt out of this hole that they could lay in it and you wouldn't be able to see them. That's how big the holes are going to be. I'll send some pictures of it and maybe put it online. But souring corn is, to me, probably as far as an attractant, because the other two methods, the pig pipe, they got to find it. The tripod feeders, they got to find it. The souring of corn, that brings them. So if you're trying to keep pigs off your property, don't put sour corn out. But if you're trying to hunt hogs and have a good time, sour corn, it'll bring them from a long ways away, and they will keep coming back as long as it's there. And that's why this has been audience approved and voted on as the best idea of 2024.
Oh, Jason. Gosh. So let me say this. I'm with Hans. I mean, it's kind of funny. I grew up souring corn, but for a different reason. We would actually go use it and bait catfish with it. And we would go out and take corn and hen scratch, chicken feed. We'd take that, put it in a bucket, and we would sour it, then go out there, go to the lake, and, you dump a couple cupfuls of that over, set up right there on the edge of a creek or something in the lake, catch catfish. And so there is no question, though, it works for hogs too. And Hans is right. I do think if you're, I don't want to use the word in a hurry, but if you're trying to hey, I want to find out if there's some hogs out here on this place or whatever, soured corn is a quicker method. I've never seen a hog walk by soured corn. I mean, if it's there, they got to come to it. And guys, you need to go watch Hans's little recipe thing on how to do it. But if you're like, this sounds like too much, here's the truth. When I was growing up, again, we were doing this for catfishing. We never did anything but take that corn or take that, again, grain, whatever. You can, and by the way, you can do this with, chicken scratch. But we just took it and put water in it and put it in that bucket. The yeast, all that stuff, that just helps it. It just makes it faster. Yeah. I know a lot of old timers used to pour beer in there, and whatever. If you want to make it faster, quicker, you can do Hans's method. The thing is, you do need some heat. If you go try to do this in, December, you're going to have a hard time getting this stuff to sour because it really needs to heat up in there. And it does work. It stinks. It's nasty. And I can smell it from a long ways away. And I know hogs can smell better than me, so they can smell it from a very long ways. So on my particular place that I live on, I can't do that. I have red clay. And when I first kind of heard about this, I got a bait hole. Well, I'm thinking, oh, okay, then I bury it. Well, I go out there with a shovel and a, post hole digger, and I got a hole about that deep. And I'm like, man, I don't know what this is going to do. And, it's about, 2 foot across and 6 inches deep. And I'm like, that's all I can go. And I'm like, whatever. And, didn't do anything. When I saw Hans, this guy takes post hole diggers in this soft sand he's got, and he can run those things down until they're so deep you can't hardly open them. I mean, he's 3 foot down in a hurry. And I mean, easy. And he's got this thing, and then he fills that full of that corn. So he's not joking. Those hogs will make a crater. I'll tell you what it's like. And this is going to show your age here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then I know you're young. Remember those old satellite dishes that were 7-8 foot across? They'll make a hole in that sand that big, just a huge waller, and they're just pawing and digging this sand out. And I have been with Hans on a hunt where he had a camera down on one of these. Hey, there's a hog down there. We got down there, and we thought the hog was gone. He's just in this hole. He's still there. Yeah. And so anyway, it's crazy. It's a really good deal. I like it a lot. If you've got the right soul for it, it's a fun way of doing it. Let me tell you one, I'm going to circle back as we kind of wrap this up. One thing you don't want to do is you do not want to put soured corn in a pig pipe. And I'll tell you why. I didn't do it, but I figured it out the hard way. If you leave that pig pipe out there and it's got a lot of corn in it, and the hogs aren't hitting it a lot, the rain, you know, get big rains, rain will come in there and it will sour the corn for you inside that pig pipe. What'll happen is that corn will swell and then it will also start sticking together with that other corn. Then it won't come out of the holes and you've got a problem. I mean, I've had to take some of those pig pipes, unscrew the lid and like beat the corn out, stick a stick in there trying to get it out. So what I'm saying is don't take and say the two best methods and I'm going to combine them because they don't work well together.
No.
They need to be done separately.
What I do, but I'm glad you said this. I'm going to tell you all my tricks now. What I do is I take some of the water from the bucket and I'll put it in a cup and I will kind of pour it on top of the pig pipe. Yeah. And that way that smell will be on the pig pipe itself and it'll kind of just, you know, in the heat, when the sun comes out and you pour the water on there, that soured water, it just bakes into the plastic, man. And it's just like, oh, they love it. They absolutely love it.
So nasty. All right, guys, listen, I hope out of one of these three methods, you can find something that'll work for you out there this summer, baiting these hogs up. And I know summertime hog hunting, it's my least favorite time because mosquitoes and here in the South, you know, mosquitoes, snakes, I don't even want to talk about that. And then it's just so hot and humid and nasty, but it is a good time to hunt hogs, especially in the spring and then later in the summer when maybe it dries out some and, you know, it's maybe not quite as humid right before we get into fall. But I know a lot of guys, Hans is one of them, just super, super dedicated. And they're out there, you know, in the worst of it, June, July, August. And I've kind of gotten to the point that I'm like, well, if they're not bothering me, I may not bother them. It's so nasty out there, you know. But no, seriously, hopefully one of these methods will work for you. And definitely go check out his other videos on the Hans East Texas YouTube channel.
I'll need to put a link to him. If you go to the description of this video, I'll put a link to both of those videos. That way people can find it a lot easier.
Excellent. And so you can find him on all the social medias, you know, H-A-N-S-E-T-X. Late Night Vision Show, you're already here. We're on YouTube, all the podcast apps, all the social medias. Just search for us, The Late Night Vision Show. You can even go to thelatenightvisionshow.com. Mm-hmm. And as always, again, guys, we want your support. We really do. And to support us, we appreciate you watching. That means a lot. But when you get ready to buy a thermal or night vision scope, or maybe it's your buddy, you know, maybe you already own one, or maybe you just like watching this stuff, but you're not going to buy anything right now, and that's fine. But if you hear of somebody that's looking to buy a night vision or thermal scope, we would love to have their business. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just, it would mean so much to us. We've got a great staff of people that work here, you know, all the way from the girls in the office to, you know, Ashley, our other salesman that works with us. I mean, the warehouse group, everybody we've got is just a lot of good, hardworking folks. And this is what we do. It is our passion. We hunt with and test every single item and optic that we sell, period. And we test a whole lot more that we don't ever sell. And there's a reason for all those. If we don't sell it, there's some reason that we've decided not to. So it's honestly true. Everything we sell on our website is handpicked and approved by us. And that's not a joke, because if we don't like it, we just don't sell it. So outdoorlegacygear.com or 877-350-1818.
Thank y'all. This has been episode 314, and we will see y'all next Thursday. So as you know, this is the place for night hunters and any hunters or anybody else that wants to check out the show. This Thursday and every Thursday, we will see y'all soon.